Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her Son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to this new episode about Fatima. And these last episodes, we were questioning ourselves somewise, why 1917, why Portugal, why Fatima? And now there is another why, that is why children. Why children were chosen to deliver such a big and important message that crossed the whole 20th century, because the message was delivered in 1917, and it was for all the 20th century and reshaped the world. You can see it reshaped the world. Remember, Soviet Union was a country that existed, and it was mainly Russia, but many other satellite countries. Soviet Union was poisoning the world. I don't say with communism, because that's politics. I don't go there. And not all is wrong about communism, as of course not all is right about capitalism. But with what I mean, that Russia or the Soviet Union was poisoning the world with militant atheism, and Fatima comes to fight that poison. Fatima is the Blessed Virgin Mary crushing the serpent that is poisoning the world with militant atheism. You know, atheism is okay. Well, we have freedom of religion, and we don't force you to believe, but we won't allow you to go and spread your ideas about atheism. And especially, it's not just spreading, because atheism was enforced, you know. Freedom of religion, I mean, people can believe, people may not believe, but you cannot force people either way to believe or not to believe. But the Soviet Union, implanting herself in all Eastern Europe, and some countries in Canada, some countries in America, Cuba, you could not believe. You could not believe in God. You could not go to church. So that is what I mean by militant atheism, by forcing atheism upon people. We still have a country doing that, China. And we probably need a visitation of our Blessed Mother to tackle this militant atheism that Soviet Union doesn't do anymore, and Russia, that is the main country in the Soviet Union, is not doing anymore. But China is still doing to its people. They enforce atheism. There is no freedom of religion. And so that was what Fatima was about. And this message was delivered by three ignorant and illiterate. You know, the word ignorant might sound a bit tough, because there is nobody is entirely ignorant, because everybody knows things. But since most of our culture comes from letters, from know how to write and how to read, of course, when you are when you cannot write or read, you put yourself outside the main course of culture, and so many things that come by ways of reading a book, you cannot do it. And so that's what I mean by being ignorant. And also these, they were kids, you know, in kids go to school, and these were not even going to school. That's where the kids absorb some culture and knowledge. And these kids, these three kids in Fatima, were not going to school. They start going to school after the apparitions, also because Our Blessed Mother told them to go to school. And so they started to go to school. But they were not going to school before, because school was not enforced at those times yet. And the thing is that such a big message that changed the world, because Soviet Union stopped to exist, and once Russia was consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Mary, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, then Russia stopped to exist, and Russia converted to its Christian roots. So the militant, the atheism was not enforced anymore. And I, as I said, I remember that time when I was in Ethiopia. Ethiopia was a country under the influence of the communist Soviet Union. And there we took a long breath that the atheism was not enforced anymore in Ethiopia. So it was a good thing. And it was indeed the conversion of Russia, as Our Lady of Fatima predicted. So this message that was delivered by three kids, three illiterate kids, it's amazing. It's the irony of God that entrusts very serious messages to children, to insignificant children, because children in our culture now, not anymore, but in at those times, children were, you know, you have so many children. Children means nothing, because the mortality, the kids' mortality in the 60s and 50s and 40s is very high. So that means that, well, you have a kid, you might not have it next year. So kids were not important, and yet God chooses kids. Why? Well, it's already in the Bible. God chooses the humble to confound the wise. And Fatima follows this paradigm, the paradigm of the gospel, to the letter. Fatima really, if you go deep down, as we will, follows the paradigm of the gospel by the letter, by the letter. Doesn't go out of the gospel a single bit. So these kids, the kids were entrusted because kids are important to Jesus. When the apostles wanted to chase them away, Jesus said, "Welcome, let them come to me." And he wanted to rest. He was tired, but still he welcomed them. He welcomed them. Because and then he said, you have to be kids like them if you want to enter the kingdom of God. Well, that's the thing. He told Nicodemus, you have to reborn again, something very strange. Yeah, reborn again. Be born again in the water and spirit. Renovate yourself. Be like kids. Get to have the virtues that the kids have naturally, and which you have to work for them again, those virtues that the kids have and that we are supposed to have, because to enter the kingdom of God you need to be a kid again, like Jesus said. It reminds me of a song, a Christian song from the Portuguese language. It says, I want to be beloved, Lord, like a pot in the potter's hands, like a pot in the potter's hands. Break my life and redo it. Interesting. You know, when you see a potter making a pot, many times when he sees that he's not coming out well, he redoes it again. So that this song is written at that image of the potter. And remember, from the book of Genesis, we were fashioned from the clay. And so redo it again. Do it again, please, God. I want to be a new pot. I want to be a new pot. I want to be a new pot in Jesus. And Jesus is the model of that new pot. And so that's a way you can interpret Christmas, that in Christmas, God as the old potter, the one that did Adam and Eve, is refreshing humanity, is doing it again, because we ruined ourselves as pots. We were broken pots, and from the same clay he's doing it again. So he is consecrating humanity. And so the kids have these virtues, like humility is one of the virtues. You see, a kid always is a kid, is small, and he accepts being small. He does not pretend. He does not pretend. And he always looks up for his parents, because they are much taller than him. And so he accepts his condition, is humble, accepts being dependent. We look so much to be independent and financially independent, all independence that we can do whatever we please. And a kid can accept what the gospel says, without me you can do nothing. But for us adults, it's a bit difficult to accept that we cannot do anything for ourselves. We need God all the time. And the kids need the father and the mother all the time. And also, kids have a blind faith. You know what I mean, a blind faith. They really trust their parents. They trust their parents. They keep asking and asking things. They ask every day. If you take a kid to a supermarket and the kid doesn't ask you for anything of the many things he has seen, that's not a normal kid. And if you stop asking God, you are not a normal son of God anymore, because it's when you ask, you are showing your dependency. When you ask, you are showing your indigency, that you need God. And so when you are not asking anymore, you are showing your pride, that you don't need God for anything, because you can do it all by yourself. And that's the start of the spiritual ruin, when you think that you can do everything by yourself. And also, kids are pure. They are pure. They are without prejudices. As we grow older, the more we grow, the more prejudices we catch from our bad experiences of life. And prejudices really, they blind us to the real reality, and they spoil our thoughts, and indeed they will spoil our actions too afterwards. So kids are not like that. Kids are pure. What they think is what they say. They are not hypocrite. Kids like to play games. Yeah, they do. They do. They play games, lots of, but you know, natural games. What they don't do is to play psychological games. You know, psychological games done so that I can conquer you, I can manipulate you. These sort of psychological games that kids don't play, but we adults, we play a lot, all the time. So you see, that's the reason why God chooses kids, because kids very much absorb the message. They don't change the message. That's the problem for me, one of the reasons for the incarnation of God, is that the message, when God was sending prophets, some not even wanted to be prophets, like Amos, you know, I don't want to be a prophet. Jonas was sent to Nineveh, I don't want to go there. But many others, the message was never delivered the way God intended, because the prophet always puts. So the message is not a message that is written in a closed envelope that you cannot change it. No, the message comes through your mind in prayer, and then but then you can change it. You can open the envelope, so to say, and change the message. And that's what the prophets were doing. And that's what the kids don't do. They receive a message the way it is and they deliver it the way it is. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. And so we already answered with the gospel in our hands why God always chooses kids. And in the apparitions of our Blessed Mother, we see kids being chosen. Kids being chosen, illiterate, ignorant kids like Lourdes in France, Juan Diego in Guadalupe, Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta in Fatima. And why we could go certainly in all the apparitions. I'm now more concerned with Fatima. Why these particular children? If you look at these three kids, as far as Fatima, they are not different from many other kids at that time in that place. But of course, they were chosen. They were brothers. They had brothers and sisters. See, Lucia had other sisters, but she was the one chosen and not the other sisters. And the two brothers, you know, Jacinta liked Francisco more than John. He had another brother, John, and other sisters and brothers, but close to Francisco was John. But she liked Francisco and she didn't like John, Jacinta. So she was going more with this brother of hers. So that's the way it is. And also They were chosen like Jesus chose his disciples. He chose a couple of brothers. He chose Peter and Andrew, they were brothers. John and James were brothers. And then there were also some cousins, his own cousins. So it all starts with the family too. And why these three kids? Well, I'm going to tell you that they represent humanity. These three kids were chosen because they represent humanity. They represent the three main characters or three main personalities. There are three main personalities in my blog that is called Itinerant Mission. I have been talking about for 3 years about the Trinity, Trinitarian things, and also human personality. Is divided in three. We have the three centers is the head, the gut, and the heart. The gut, or instinct, consists of action process, doing, being active or passive, consists of power. That's gut instinct. We have instinctive people or gut people. The heart consists of relational process, caring, loving, influencing, accepting, rejecting, affiliating, affects, feelings, and emotions. And the head consists of thinking, judging, reflecting, is the home of the mental process. Now, of course, we all do these things, but by default, we are either head people, brainy people, cerebral people, or emotional people, sentimental people, or gut people, instinctive people. We are the three, but we have a default one. We have a tendency to for that default one. So you should know, you know yourself, that's what Socrates said in the beginning of the Greek philosophy. And we should know ourselves, because you probably have heard me telling that what you know about yourself you can control, what you don't know about yourself you cannot control. So you should know by now in your adult life, if you are a mental person, or if you are a head person, or if you are an instinctive, a gut person, or if you are a feeling person, a sentimental or emotional person, you should know it by now. But if you don't, I might help you to think, what is your primary organ of perception? So when things are clear to you, they are clear to you because you know, because you are clear, they are clear that the feelings are, that they, these things arise in you, they are clear to you, those feelings, that you can feel about them, or that you can think about them with clarity, and your instincts come into focus. You're doing something that they inspire you to do something. So it depends. We should know by now if we are which of these three centers is our center. The head people. And also another way of knowing is when you are hangry. Now, next time you get hangry for some reason, observe yourself, look at yourself, and see what's your reaction to that anger that you feel in yourself. If you are a head person, you will retreat to your central headquarters. To your castle, that is your mind. So you will like to be alone, to be in silence, and you will try to come up with some explanation for why everything is a mess. which looks like a paranoia or anxiety. You try to analyze. That's what mental or brainy people do, analyze things. The problem is that they analyze, they keep analyzing, and they never come up with a solution. They are not active people, like the contrary of these people are the instinctive people. They do a short analysis and they soon come up with a solution and they depart for action. But the brainy people, they think the process of analyzing is never complete. They think, well, maybe I just missed a point. Maybe there is something that I'm not seeing yet clearly. And so that's the problem with the brainy people. And so when you are hungry, how do you tackle that hunger? The heart people, they get emotional. Yeah, they... that hunger brings out their emotions. Either they become hysteric or they become depressive, because they see everything in as feelings. And so these are the relational people. You see, the feeling people are the ones that relate better to others. Of course, this is a general rule. You will find probably more feeling people in women, and you will find more instinctive people in men. Of course, this is just a very, very, very general rule. But yes, it's true that women generally, they are more inclined towards emotions and feelings and sentiments. Men are more inclined to action, to more instinctive, I would say even more primitive, more instinctive. And also then brainy people, I would say, it's in both genders, more or less, equally in both genders. But the way I understand it is that feeling people is more women, instinctive people more men, and then head people, brainy people, it's both. It's a little bit both. But of course, you know, look at this. This is a very general. You have to... And shouldn't become a prejudice that you look at a man and, oh, he must be instinctive. He might be a feeling person. So the man or the woman that is in front of you, you know, don't relate to people, to normal people on your everyday basis using these statistics. Let yourself be surprised by the person that is in front of you. So I would say disregard what I have just said. Well, and the gut people, what do they do? Gut people, when they find themselves hungry, they don't want to think about it. They don't want to get all weepy, and they want it to go away. So they get hungry and they probably punch the table. They probably will do something. They will exteriorize. They will exteriorize their anger. You know, see, that's the good and the bad thing of the instinctive people. It's that they exteriorize their hunger. It's good for them because they don't have high blood pressure. It's bad for the other people because they will be punctured by these instinctive people. You're punctured in many ways. An insult or being angry at them or trying to manipulate them. Instinctive people are people of actions and they don't care about feelings and relating. They do what they have to do. You see, a feeling person, before he does what he has to do, he thinks of the consequences. Will I lose this person or not? Will I win this person? Will I lose the love of this person, the comprehension of this person or not? So that's what they think. And before doing anything, but instinctive people, they don't. Now, as I said, you know, I cannot, probably in another program we can do more a human program of human promotion. We can think about this psychology thing. But what I wanted to say is that these three kids, Lucia and Francisco and Jacinta, they represent humanity, because the three of them, they represent a part of the message of Fatima, because the three of them, they have three different personalities. One is brainy, the other is a feeling person, and the other is a gut person. Now, if you know a bit the life, the biography of these three kids, you would know yourself who is the brainy, who is the head, who is the head person, who is the gut person or instinctive person, and who is the feeling or emotional person. But of course, you probably don't know enough, and I'm telling you. Lucia is the brainy person. Francisco is the gut person, the instinctive person, and Jacinta is the emotional, sentimental person. So I'm telling you a bit about them so that you understand how this is true. Lucia was quite plain in appearance, but she was amusing, cheerful, and extroverted. You will listen to me telling me that in spirit, Lucia was very beautiful. In her body, she was, I would say, even ugly. But Jacinta is the opposite. She was ugly in her spirit, but she was very beautiful physically. And then you can see. And so Lucia was extroverted. She looked after, taught, and entertained other children. She was a leader. She knew how to tell stories, Bible stories especially, that she listened to her mother. Her mother knew how to write and how to read. She was a catechist. And so the other kids were amazing. They liked Lucia company all the time, because she would entertain them all time, and especially Jacinta. Jacinta, a day without Lucia was not a normal day, was a boring day. She was very dependent, Jacinta. She depended on Lucia so much. Lucia was creative and a high spirit, born a natural leader. She was therefore naturally qualified to be the speaker for Mary and the messenger and the bearer of the message for many years until the end of her life in 2005, because the other two kids died very soon after. So she was the gospel writer, so to say, of Fatima, and she was the bearer of the message. She had an elephant memory. She was a brainy person. Jacinta, like Lucia, she was physically graced. She was dainty, pretty, and refined, but psychologically, she was completely opposite of her cousin. She was shy, introverted, very sentimental, and sensitive. She was qualified to be the heart of the message of Fatima, to be the suffragant, to embody that part of the message which gives account and meaning to the everyday suffering by taking advantage of those sufferings for a greater good, the conversion of the poor sinners. And then we come to Francisco. Francisco was neither like his cousin Lucia nor like his sister Jacinta. He was less sentimental, more visceral or instinctive. He was not guided by the head like Lucia, nor by the heart like Jacinta, but by instinct. He was the most contemplative of the three, detached from life. He liked the loneliness, and he was seen many times praying the rosary alone, and was also seen many times in front of the Blessed Sacrament. He was called the hidden Jesus, in front of the tabernacle for hours and hours. And so for him, being alone in contemplation and in trying to please Jesus, that was his thing. So wasn't a person for relating to others, not a person for thoughts, but a person to follow his instincts. So there you are, the message of Fatima, lived by three different kids from their own three different personalities.
Have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada every Thursday at 10:30 a.m., where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.